In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up a little bit later on today at 11:45, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes will speak to the media right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. We're also 30 minutes away from Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joining us to discuss week 14 of the NFL slate and obviously the Chiefs-Texans, the big matchup on Sunday Night Football. We, in addition to that, are expected to have Jay Binkley calling at some point in the 11 o'clock hour. That is because the breaking news of the morning, and surprising news certainly for I think anybody across college football, is Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman reportedly is going to retire. Now, it's not official, but there are about 10 different reports confirming the same news at this point in time. And Chris Klieman, 58 years old, going to call it quits. There is a press conference that is now scheduled for 4 o'clock this afternoon, along with their athletic director, Gene Taylor. There was already a presser scheduled today because it's signing day across college football. So they, like every other school,
pushed
had a presser scheduled, in this case, originally 11 o'clock. It's now 4. There are reports associated with this as well. Manhattan Mercury deserves credit, by the way, for being first to report this news. Nobody else had anything else about this, Cody, and all of a sudden the Manhattan Mercury had it, and that is that Colin Klein is expected to become the next head coach. Of course, the former K-Stater, legendary figure with that college football program. That is not official yet, but once again, multiple reports now confirming the same news. Let's just start with the obvious. This is a stunner, man. 58 years old.
Very surprising, yes.
Does it make you rethink the observations that I think a lot of people had over the last couple weeks where, you know, Chris Klieman was very emotional after the loss to Utah? You know, Lance Leipold at KU even said he called Chris Klieman to check in on him. Like, does it? I hope, by the way, he's stepping away just because he's burnt out or something. I hope there's nothing, you know, personal going on or something like that. Let me be clear on that. But it is stunning that you would walk away.
I think that, like, it makes all the sense in the world now, those reactions. As in, he must have known this for a bit, right? I mean, that's the thing that makes sense, is that he was either he knew this for a while, Gold, or he was already leaning that direction or considering that somewhere along the way. And this news today was already in motion. And that's why he was particularly sad after the game and talking about his seniors and why he wanted certain things out of it and all this other stuff makes more sense. Am I surprised that a 58-year-old at a Power 4 program just decides to up and leave on December 3rd? Yeah, now look, it's not December 3rd. He was probably planning on
trying to keep
this under wraps for a little bit longer than that, obviously, because they don't push the press conference back for no reason. They got to get their ducks in a row and make sure that things are in place for where they need to be. But yeah, I'm very surprised, but it does make more sense, and it feels like that's probably what was happening here.
And based off of some of the things that have been moved around, there's reports out of Manhattan today now that there was a team meeting scheduled for tomorrow that has been bumped up to 2 o'clock this afternoon. What this feels like, as you said, this was in the works for a bit, but they were hoping it didn't get out until after signing day. I mean, this is a huge, huge day in college football with signing day. We all know that it's important for all these programs. And so you were hoping, if you're K-State and if you were Chris Klieman, that you were able to get through today announce your signing class, and then meet with your team tomorrow, and then have it become, you know, public knowledge and hold a press conference to announce retirement. Everything, because the reports out there from the Manhattan Mercury, everything is sped up now. So that's why you have the presser being pushed back. You have reportedly the team meeting happening today. They're trying to get their ducks in a row. And then, not to mention, also try to finalize the report that Colin Klein is going to return to his alma mater and become the next head coach.
I guess why, you know, like, and this goes back to the same thing. Kudos to the small town paper. Dude who broke it, Seton. He is a fourth,
Ned Seton,
fourth generation newspaperman.
There you go.
Publisher of this small town paper. Lived in Kansas City for a little while, for what his profile said.
All right.
Big K-State fan. I don't think he's trying to hurt the program with this, but when you get news, and look, that's why K-State, that's why when you see all this reporting that says, oh, it's not official, and wait a second, and, you know, like, yeah, he's maybe leaning towards retirement, is they don't want this out, and it's early signing day, but they don't want this out today. I'm sure they wanted to release that information on their own terms. That's not how breaking news works.
No, I'm sure Chris Kleiman wanted to be the person to break his own news. I mean, I think everybody would prefer that, but that, as you said, especially in 2025, that's not how this works. I saw there was a few other, I won't mention them, but there were a few other outlets, always, at least one reporter from another outlet that covers Kansas State that was saying, you know, it's unfortunate that it broke today. No other outlet was going to report it on National Signing Day. What are we doing?
The Mercury's just supposed to sit on it?
You're just going to protect the program that you cover for a day because, you know, it might not be the best thing to announce it today. Like, what are we talking about?
I think there's some truth in the fact that he had the story before anyone else. But another 24 hours of a story, I can't emphasize how quickly somebody else can get that information. So, no, you break the story when you have it.
I can't believe somebody that covers any, like, that claims to be a journalist at all would be critical of somebody else for breaking this news today. What are we doing? What are we talking about?
Yeah, as soon as you find it, especially when you're a local paper, like, you come out with that news right away. It does make sense that they wanted to avoid it from signing day, but from the perspective of the athletes, like, if they wanted to have kids commit and sign before the day, they can just get released from the National Letter of Intent tomorrow if they wanted to.
Sure. Like, that's
think
fair.
It doesn't fully affect the day, but in terms of what the day's supposed to be for K-State and what it is for college football, yeah, it makes sense that they wanted to wait. I get it.
What do you guys make of just if it becomes official with the Colin Klein aspect? He was OC in 2022 at K-State. Their offensive ranks under him in 2022, they were 24th in the country. As offense in 2023, they were the 19th best offense in football. He goes to A&M with Jimbo Fisher, actually, originally, right? To be the OC there.
When Jimbo got paid all that money, he had more assistant
money. He, of course, has stayed on with Mike Elko. A&M's a legit national title contender. Reports out of College Station are that even if he takes this job, which he's expected to, he will be the OC still throughout the college football playoff for the run for Texas A&M. I would imagine, I'll be curious, the text line, we got K-State alums that are obviously listening to the show. I'm curious to get your perspective. I don't want to speak for you. From someone that is not a K-State alum, I would imagine that as much as it may be crappy to lose your head coach in Chris Kleiman for retirement, I imagine you're kind of fired up that Colin Klein, who had success, obviously as a football player, unbelievable football player, had success in a short period of time as an OC for K-State as well, now is coming back home and bring some youth to the program and all that. I imagine, like, look, there's questions with any hire, right? He doesn't have head coach experience and all that, but you might have a better chance of keeping some of the guys that are already there. And certainly if you're a fan, I would imagine this softens the blow of what would be a late decision normally.
It's always kind of tough because I think fans generally, when they at least first get hired, love the one true son, right? Who doesn't like the, oh, he's coming home. He did it twice, right? It's like you get both the player and the coach, and like he ran a good offense when they were here, and they were sad to see him go. He went to at the time, bigger program with a bigger
coach.
He's
making $5 million as an assistant at A&M right now.
Well, they paid him a ton of money to go there. That's why he ended up leaving Kansas State. So I got to think on paper, I don't think you can do much better considering the date. Like, look at all the trouble Penn State's had hiring a coach. We see Heartline go to USF. Like, just look at the names available on the street as it sits right now.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't think you could do much better considering when he is retiring than getting Colin Klein. You've already missed the bigger names, the bigger opportunities and the people out on the street. And he was an up and coming coach in the sense that people probably thought he was going to be a head coach in the next year or two anyway.
Well, the report from College Station was that he was expected to become the next head coach at South Florida. And then when this all became a potential opportunity, obviously, he was more interested in the K-State job.
Yeah, I think he was going to be a head coach. Because I think if the reporting was right, I remember him. I think he was one of the finalists for the Oklahoma State job. And then, obviously, they picked Morris. Maybe it's because they already had something kind of in the works or whatever it was. But, yeah, you're right, Cody. And the fact that he was going to – well, if it wasn't this year, he was going to be a head coach within the next couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, yep. If you really get down to, like, the nitty-gritty of it, he's been in Texas. He's been recruiting in Texas. All of a sudden, maybe he's got A&M players who are in the vault, who are lower on the depth chart. Hey, man, you can get more PT at K-State if you come and follow me. Like, I think him and that prowess of being there, not that it really ultimately matters, but him having the experience and also – Marcel Reed has done nothing but gotten better as a quarterback. He's been in the Heisman conversation. If you're Avery Johnson, not that he needs to be convinced, but
maybe that would help him
having previous experience with Colin Klein, and now that he's coming back, I think it can only help the chances, I think, that Kansas State ends up keeping Avery Johnson.
Yeah, whatever percentage you thought it was that he was going to stay, Avery Johnson, it drastically went up.
I think so.
I think if, in fact, this all gets finalized the way it's being reported, which is, again, that Chris Klieman is expected to retire, that Colin Klein is going to become the next head coach at Kansas State. There's a press conference this afternoon at 4:00 in Manhattan, and the expectation is Klieman will announce his retirement there.
Can I ask what Kansas State fans, and this is, I guess we can do it from the outsider's perspective too, 913-586-7965, describe the Klieman era? Because, like, I know how you describe the Bill Snyder era, and I know how you describe the Ron Prince era. So, like, there aren't that many eras in Kansas State history for people my age or older. It's pretty much Bill Snyder, the couple of years Ron Prince drove the thing into the ground, Bill Snyder making you viable again, and now the Klieman era. That's pretty much my knowledge of the Kansas State football era. He went to a bowl game all but two seasons. Or all but one season, just as long as
they won a conference title,
like, get to a bowl game this year, which they will, because they won. He won one conference title in what, 7 years? So, like, it's okay. Big 12. I mean, you would certainly hope
that was when Texas and Oklahoma were still in the conference too.
It was. He won 3 of 5 bowl games. He won 10 games once. The last 3 years, he's won 10, 9, and 9, and now this year 6. So it's like, what do we think of the, like? I gotta say, there's no way to pitch it as, like, this was a failure. Like, Klieman didn't work and it wasn't a good coach. But also, I imagine you're not like, oh, no, not Klieman, please don't leave. You know, I'm sure it's not like,
well,
you're
here's
not
a couple
sad
texts
to see the complete era leave either. A
couple
guess.
Texts from people that say they're KSU alum. Someone said, you know, not hurt Klieman's retiring, fire it up if Klein truly does come back, but want to make sure that actually is the case. They're just saying basically, like, they don't want to get their hopes up, essentially, is what somebody said. Someone else says, well, miss Klieman, but seemed maybe he lost desire and edge. Someone else says, this isn't crappy news at all. Best news Cats fans have had in a while. Colin is a great choice, in my opinion. So that's a little bit of the just text line's thoughts from K-State fans the news today.
I wonder if they would, like, let's say in this other world that Klein doesn't take the job and Klieman announces he's retiring.
Ooh, okay.
I wonder if the news is any, I wonder if people's thoughts are any different where the fact that Colin Klein is the guy who seems to be coming into the position makes you feel good because he's one of your own. He bleeds purple. It feels good. Plus, the offense, you could argue, was maybe a little bit better when Klein was
definitely
the OC.
Well, I just mentioned they were top 25 in the country in offense.
And not that Matt Wells has been bad, but I think a lot of people this year in particular have been critical of the play calling and Matt Wells' OC.
Look, the truth is that Chris Kleiman's going to still go down. And I think over on Twitch, they put it down pretty and on the text line. He's going to end up going down as the second best head coach in K-State's history.
He won a Big 12 championship.
And a Big 12 championship they don't take away, and that's a huge accomplishment for any team or any team in any conference. So you get that. Look, I'm just trying to decide. It seems like fans were done with Klieman, but also understand that it's not like he did a terrible job the entire time he was here. Like, Bill Snyder, in his second run at K-State, won 10 games twice. Klieman did it once, right? So it's not like there was some huge difference. They want to, you know, like, they lost more bowl games, but they went to a lot of bowl games, went to bowl games every year, pretty much went to bowl games every year with Klieman. He at least maintained, I think, the quality of program K-State was when Bill Snyder took over. So that's really Klein's job, is to, at the very least, maintain the level of program that you are. Now, ideally, you get to a new level. He takes you to a new level. But Kleiman did what Ron Prince couldn't, which was, can you just keep us going here for a little while
right.
and then try to get up? Because the Big 12 is more obtainable than ever because of no Oklahoma, because sure. of no Texas. We talked about this when those teams left. K-State, in my opinion, stood as the best beneficiary to try to become like the name of the college football conference, like become the name of this conference as it relates to college football. Kleiman didn't accomplish that.
Yeah,
that's still on the table for them as a possibility. Well, so we'll see if Klein can.
And if, in fact, the Colin Klein era begins, you know, this next season, if everything gets finalized the way it's being reported, if that's the case, it'll be interesting to follow. Look, there's going to be major pluses, I think, on offense. There's no question. I do think they can get to a point where they're once again a top 25 offense in the country. They were that as when he was the OC for 2 years. The question will be there where and this will be with him, you know, building his staff out and things like that. Where's the inexperience come into play, right? There's no perfect coaching hire. So he clearly, I think offensive mind wise and scheme, everybody's very excited. What is it on the, I would imagine he's going to be pretty damn good on the recruiting trail, given the ties to K-State and his age and everything. How important is his DC hire? Things like that will be interesting to follow. We're trying to get a guest on from, we just got to confirm. So Tim Fitzgerald is going to join us at 11 o'clock. Some things got moved around. So Tim Fitzgerald, who has covered K-State for,
perfect.
I don't want to age him to, I think 30 plus years at this point,
yep.
For GoPowerCat.com. He's going to join us at 11 o'clock and we will call him then.
Do we know? So obviously this is something that I think is going to be taken after the press conference and everything taken care of, but it'll be interesting to see if, not that there's a higher dedication of resources, but I wonder, because we're seeing that a lot with these players or these coaches, there's a higher dedication of resources. There's more investment from the boosters. I wonder if we're going to get any resemblance of that with Kansas State. I know it's a little bit different where a coach is retiring and getting,
but you like
know,
promise in. Klein more but money. I
wonder if there's any of that, Cody, where it's, hey, you know, we know that we're bringing you in and obviously you're a part of us and you have been for a long time, but we're going to invest, we will invest more money in name, image, and likeness and how we spend our money in terms of resources for the program. I wonder if, because that can only help when you're competing, because I think, Cody, I think you're right, where everybody expected them to be like the class of the conference, but now with NIL, Texas Tech and all the money they have, and BYU and all the money that they have, has kind of flipped the script now where the most money is helping, along with good coaching, sure. of course, but where K-State's at, having a good coach, and if Klein works out the way that they can, I wonder if more investment can just help them be a tick better in maybe competing from a recruiting standpoint with Texas Tech and BYU, who seem to be the class of the conference, at least going forward for now.
We'll be talking about the news of the day throughout the show today. That is, if you're just joining us for the first time in the first 15 minutes of the show, we're just getting started here. Chris Kleiman reportedly, according to the Manhattan Mercury, is expected to retire. That announcement we would believe is going to happen in the 4 o'clock press conference today. And reports say that Colin Klein, the former K-Stater, is expected to finalize a deal to become the next head coach at Kansas State. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald join us from GoPowerCat.com around 11 o'clock today here on the show. And we'll be keeping an eye on this if any new information happens as well. We'll also continue to read some of your text on that. We're about 15 minutes away from Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joining us to talk a little NFL. Briefly, let's pivot from the K-State news with Chris Kleiman for a second and get into something we were going to talk about as well anyway, which is the Chiefs, the Final Five here. We all know the playoff ramifications and all that, but we've listed out reasons why they're in this spot, but give me one fix right now. The one fix that you think would have the biggest impact to helping them go on a 5-game winning
streak.
Plenty
of choices.
Yes, there are.
Penalties and pass rush and drops and special teams and a million other things that probably seemingly are broken in a lot of ways. I think it's fairly simple based on the way this last month went. They finished the month of November with a single sack. One. And if you can tell me I can fix, let's say you don't even give me the entire defensive line, but you allow me to fix one player, and Charles Omenihue matters, or Gelati matters, or Karloftis actually gets the quarterback instead of gets near the quarterback. If you let me fix one thing, I would fix one player on the defensive line on the pass rush department.
Ooh, yeah.
Penalties, actually, weirdly enough, would probably be two, but maybe three or four on my list. I'd probably solve some other issues before I got to that point. I might choose shotgun runs or some of the other stuff that I think I'd tell them to go under center more. There's some other stuff I would certainly entertain, but if you let me to fix one thing, they had one sack in November and couldn't win. Feels like those two things are related. And I feel like if I could just get a little more pass rush, that could be the two or three play difference to get him wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to disagree with that being the priority for the rest of this season. Is can you suddenly not have to feel like if you're Steve Spagnuolo where you constantly have to blitz to try to get any pressure? I think that is hard to argue with. If I had to pivot in a different direction, I'm with you where I wouldn't actually even say the penalties, because this has been a team in the past that's penalized. For me, though, it falls in a similar category. It is basically in the fourth quarter that maybe it's penalties in general, mistakes. Like, you know, we get tired of hearing Andy Reid say we got to clean it up, but in the fourth quarter, clean football in the fourth quarter, basically, in the fourth quarter in particular, limit the penalties, then limit the drops, the turnovers, the mistakes, the mental lapses in the fourth quarter. That if you could have some magic pill that would alleviate those, that would cover a lot of this, I think, in my opinion, moving forward. As much as I would love to sit here and tell you, you know, special teams, Cody, like, it has been a problem for this team. Do I think that suddenly if they were getting the ball at the 35 instead of the 15, that would fix everything? It would help, but I don't know if that's even enough. I think the biggest issue is what you're saying, pass rush, not getting pressure, and then it is the mental lapses, the mental errors.
I got to say, that's why multiple people, I see at least three over on the text line and one on YouTube saying, third down defense. Can we talk? If you can let me fix one thing, third and long defense, even if I made you narrow it, I didn't let you solve like a big problem in a big way. And I just said, you could be a little bit better in one area on the team. Third down defense would seem there. And in a weird way, those seem related to yours, which is this way they play in the fourth quarter where these mistakes seemingly get them. Cause this is why it feels like this team is so far yet so close. Third down defense, red zone offense, the pass rush, the penalties. They just do so many little things wrong. Patrick Mahomes, like somebody said, Patrick Mahomes playing better. That, I genuinely think, might be the smallest part of their problem. I think Patrick Mahomes, and maybe this is the homer part of it, I think Patrick Mahomes is playing great. I think he's playing genuinely pretty great football. Like, as good a football as any quarterback in the NFL. MVP-level football is what I think Patrick Mahomes is playing. And to ask him to play better, sure, I guess it might help you get a win, but it doesn't feel like he's the thing that needs the most solving, and he's probably not in the top 10 of list of things I think need the most resolution for this team. Like, all the other stuff that we mentioned are higher on the list.
I'm mentioning things, and you are as well, that potentially are potentially attainable. Like, if your thing is, well, just better play calling from Andy Reid. At this point, guys, the play calling is the play calling. I mean, it is throughout his career, but also it's December 3rd. I don't think there's going to be just some drastic
huge
shift.
Biggest
shift we saw was a few weeks ago, which is they went under center more. It happened in the Indy game, and they ran the ball a lot. And then against Dallas, the offense was clicking early, passing, and then they refused to run the ball again. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it is what it is when it comes to that. I think, unfortunately, though, Cody, you're saying like the one thing, the final five games that would have the biggest impact. I agree with you that it's the pass rush. But why on earth would I believe suddenly Charles Omenihu's going to just turn it on? You know what I mean?
I mean, how many does he even have a sack this year?
I don't know the number on that.
I don't want to say for sure. We know they only have 22 sacks.
There was this stretch of three games where he was playing better, and then it just hasn't equated to anything.
He has 2 sacks this season and 11 solo tackles. He is still playing more than, and this goes back to the same thing. Like, maybe the thing you would fix is play guys with more juice, as Twitch put it over there, which is play Connor, play Gelati, play young players, and I heard Dana Hughes talk about it in the morning show, play young players who have energy, who can give you energy in some way, and find out if there's just some, like, let's just play unfiltered for a little while. Maybe make mistakes, but play with actual energy and effort and some of the things that feel like have been lacking with this team.
We all know what's at stake on Sunday. This is from ESPN Analytics. There are multiple teams whose playoff chances will swing by at least 25%, win or lose, in week 14.
She's one of them.
The highest swing is actually the Colts. If they win, if they lose, they go down to a 58% chance to make the playoffs. If the Chiefs lose, they go from 56%, Cody, down to 14%. If the Ravens lose, they go from a 76% chance down to a 31% chance. The team that would be, you know, as much as we agree that Kansas City will probably be eliminated with a loss, the Cowboys, if they lose to the Lions tomorrow night, they go from a 35% chance down to an 8% chance. So the Chiefs have the second biggest, you know, would have the second
biggest drop off
if they were to lose odds wise. Yeah.
Makes sense. AFC's tight. There's plenty of teams who are still winning, and you are in 10th at the moment. So you have to jump a lot of teams in order to get in the playoffs. And that goes back to the disappointment, all this other stuff. 7 playoff teams, and you can't be in it with Patrick Mahomes playing at a high level? The hell did you do wrong? And a lot of that would just be like, you know what? Probably the truth is that time caught up with the team, and it caught up fast, and we usually talk about that with Father Time, and their best players are still, and this goes back to, and this could be a slight criticism on Veach. I am not, and I have to be clear on this weirdly, not saying they should replace Veach, but your best players still can't all be the guys John Dorsey drafted. The best players on the team are still Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes. They were drafted when you weren't even the GM. You gotta, you know, the best players on the team gotta be drafted by you at some point. And I, you know, like we,
the one answer to that right now, obviously, is Trent McDuffie.
Yes.
But yeah. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. All right. We're going to get back into this with Ross Tucker a little bit. Our Odyssey NFL insider will join us. And then a reminder coming up at 11, we'll get back to the breaking news of the day. Kansas State reportedly head coach Chris Klieman going to step down and retire. Press conference coming up at 4 o'clock today. Colin Klein expected to become the next head coach. But up next, we'll talk a little NFL with Ryan.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ross Tucker.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get back to the breaking news of the day out of Manhattan, where multiple reports now saying that K-State head football coach Chris Klieman is going to step down and retire. Press conference expected at 4 o'clock today. It also happens to be early signing day in college football. That's why some of the team meetings and everything got moved around. They were, sure seems like, Cody, wanting to wait till Thursday or Friday for this news to get out. And then on top of that, reports say that former K-Stater Colin Klein expected to take over the football program. So we'll get back to that in just a bit. But I do want to talk some NFL. Welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I know you call college football games. I don't know if you've, have you called any game involving Chris Klieman going back years ago or anything with Colin Klein and Texas A&M?
I have, actually. I called multiple Chris Klieman FCS national championship games when he was at North Dakota State on the radio. It was the, I think it was the 2 years, it was Carson Wentz's junior and senior year.
Okay.
Is when I did it, because that's how I got to know Carson. Then he got drafted by the Eagles, and the whole deal. So, yes, thoroughly, thoroughly impressive coach and program and all that that they built at North Dakota State. Although I actually have a question for you guys now, because I'm curious about this. If someone did a survey of every minute you guys are on the radio in a calendar year, what percentage of the talk is Chiefs? What percentage of the talk is Royals? And then what percentage is other? And I guess I'm curious about the other. Like, I really don't know, because when I come on, you guys always ask me about NFL.
Sure.
I'm curious, like, how much college sports, college football, college hoops do you guys talk about?
So since we started doing the show, which was in 2020, obviously the Chiefs have been going on this run. And so if you would ask this question in 2013, it would have been a way bigger chunk of the pie for the collegiate teams in the area. Right now, it's probably, Cody, you tell me if you would disagree, 80% Chiefs and then Royals after that. Maybe my math is off. Maybe 70% Chiefs, 20% Royals, 25% Royals. And
depends
the rest.
On the time of year, obviously, for the Royals. They might get a slight chunk. And on this show, it might be 10% college, depending on what it is. KU, K-State, and MU, though, because you have three locals in one town, Ross, there's always some market for college athletics, but it's not what it used to be. It used to be a huge college town, and the Chiefs got too good.
Wow. So that's fascinating. Yeah, because, like, you know, you guys know I go on WIP in Philly. They never talk college sports. You know,
is that an East Coast thing? Is that like just an East Coast thing?
The Flyers, Phillies, like, yeah. I would say it's 99.5% pro sport. And if they say anything about college, it's like, it's either in passing or like, if Villanova wins the national championship in college basketball, they'll talk about it the next day for like 5 minutes.
We get it a little bit more than that, Ross, but in fairness, not there. Do you think, have you watched A&M much this year? Do you think Colin Klein runs a good offense?
I have watched A&M, and I think it's a fantastic hire on a lot of different levels. First of all, A&M has their quarterback's really good, but their receivers are ridiculous. I mean, just amazing. I don't know how much you guys have watched them, but really super impressive. But obviously with what Colin did at K-State, love the hire, feels like he's ready, feels like he's the right guy. So much respect for what he did as a player. I mean, it felt like he got like 40 carries a game when he was at K-State. So love everything about that for K-State. I've actually never been to either Kansas or K-State. In fact, I don't know if I've ever been to the state of Kansas, because I always just come to Kansas. Now, when I land, if at any point from the airport to Arrowhead, am I in the state of Kansas at all, or is that all Missouri?
No, and I remember when we had dinner with you a couple years ago, that was in Missouri as well. So, yeah, I don't think you've been on the Kansas side.
I don't think I've ever been to the state of Kansas, interestingly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's.
I don't think I'm coming out there for any playoff games this year, boys.
Well, there we go. Let's get into it, Ross, because I tend to agree. Unfortunately, we've had you on each week when, hey, this is a must win, that's a must win, but it's pretty simple. Now, I know the math will say technically they could lose a game, but we're all convinced here they got to win out, and I've not seen anything to suggest that they can string five games of mistake free football together.
You know what? First of all, I just meant that there wouldn't be any playoff games in Kansas City.
Okay.
I still think they have a very real chance to make the playoffs. I just don't think there'll be any home games.
Well, that's definitely true.
That would be an upset. You know, it's really fascinating watching them, because, you know, you can still see all the elements of what has made them so good, but they just have like flies in the ointment that it feels like they haven't had other years. You know, it's like there will be some drops from certain guys. There will be untimely penalties. I thought the Trey Smith injury really hurt them against the Cowboys. Defensively, you know, McDuffie, who's terrific, was not terrific in the game they needed him to be terrific. I mean, it's like, I hate to be that, like, it's just one of those years, guys, but it feels that way. And, you know, you can say that when you watch the Ravens or the Eagles to some extent. It just, this year has gone a long way to showing just how hard it is to win. And I think maybe we've lost sight of that.
I think some of it is for me, and look, we always assume that people will catch up. Quarterbacks are expensive, all this other stuff. I just didn't think it happened all in the same year. The Eagles all don't look the same. The Bills don't look the same. The Chiefs don't look the same. And in a weird way, Ross, if I were the Bills, I'd be more disappointed in my season, depending on how it ends, than if I'm the Chiefs. Let's say the Chiefs miss the playoffs and the Bills lose in either the first or the second round. I'd be more mad at my season. You're here to tell me that there's no Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson's team's not the same, and Patrick Mahomes missed the playoffs, and we come up short that time? They've got to be more annoyed than just about any team in the league, knowing that it's the most wide-open year ever for them with Josh Allen, and their team doesn't look right.
A pretty good point, actually. I go on with the Odyssey Station in Buffalo on Tuesdays. I might have to make that point where it's like, hey, you got a real chance. And by the way, Cody, I'll give you no credit whatsoever.
Just steal the take. It's fine.
But you're right. The real funny thing is that before the year, my conversation with them was about how important it was to get the number one seed,
mm-hmm.
and just how they were set up so much better than Baltimore, who had to play Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, or the Chiefs, who had to beat out the Broncos and the Chargers. It felt like the Bills were perfectly set up to get the number one seed, which I don't think they've ever gotten under McDermott and Allen. And instead, you know, they're not even going to win that division because the Patriots have just kind of blown everybody out of the water.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. You mentioned the Patriots there, Ross. We continue to see Drake May and his team cruise through, I understand, a lighter schedule, but still, I don't think anybody saw it to this extent coming in 2025. Is this, you know, how sustainable is this to you, watching what Drake May is doing? I mean, he's obviously still a very young quarterback, and people will point to the schedule, but is this a Patriots group now that we're going to be talking about, you think, for years to come, that their fans only had to wait, you know, 5+ years between Tom Brady and Drake May, and they're going to be one of these top teams for a while?
Probably, yeah. I mean, they've got a very good head coach in Mike Vrabel. Just as importantly, they have an excellent offensive coordinator who is highly unlikely to get a head job again in Josh McDaniels, which allows for continuity. I would say on a lot of levels, they're kind of a year ahead of schedule right now. Now, they do have what some people statistically have told me is by far the easiest schedule like in NFL history, which is crazy, but they're still 11-2. I mean, they're still NFL games, and I mean, other than losing that opener to the they lost the opener to the Raiders, first game, whatever. Then they had like 5 turnovers, 3 or 4 on the goal line against the Steelers. Otherwise, I mean, they really have been the better team in every game, and it's impressive. And the biggest thing I think right now is they got a great chance to have the number one seed. So it would just be 2 home playoff games up there in New England. They believe that they have probably the MVP of the league at quarterback, and I do think Drake is that good. And because of that, they absolutely believe that they're going to win. I mean, they and that's a huge, huge part of it. It's not going to be easy to go up there and get a win in the playoffs.
When you look at the like the NFL's history, though, typically, and I guess I'm curious if you subscribe to this, typically you have to, like you said, a year early. Typically, you kind of have to like take your lump in a playoff run first. You don't usually just get a free pass to the front of the line. The entire AFC, the top 4 or 5 teams, all feel like teams who would like take the fast track, unless it's the Chargers or somebody else. Do you think that this is the kind of year where Bo Nix or one of these other quarterbacks, I guess Drake May, could just skip the line? It doesn't usually work that way.
It doesn't. But yeah, I think it could be. I mean, especially like if the Chiefs don't make the playoffs, you know, I mean, the Ravens, maybe Lamar Jackson would be healthy by then. But if the Chiefs don't make the playoffs, it feels to me like either the Broncos or the Patriots probably will skip the line. You know, they've got an excellent, excellent chance to at that point, which would be super, super impressive. But that's where we're headed right now, because none of the fearsome foursome of Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Mahomes has their teams firing on all cylinders right now. That said, still very possible that three of them get in. And if three of them get in and they're playing on the road in New England or on the road in Denver, I would love to see what the betting line would be for those games, because I certainly would not be surprised if they're still favored.
Ross, the Steelers look lost offensively. Their defense doesn't look as dominant. They're sitting there at 6-6, right behind the Ravens with the tiebreakers currently, and I know they play head-to-head coming up this week. If the Steelers were to miss the playoffs and Mike Tomlin's run of, you know, finding a way to just get that team into the postseason, even if it's one and done, do you believe this would be the year where we would see a complete turnover there in that organization?
I think it's possible, but, you know, with the way that organization has been, I guess I still will say I'll believe it when I see it. You know, let's see how they finish up. It does feel like the fans have kind of grown tired of the commitment to a little bit better than mediocrity. I think the fans have kind of, they feel like they need a new message, which, you know, as I always say, careful what you wish for, because that's what some of the Penn State fans around here wanted. And now they are in a really, really bad situation. Everybody wanted, not everybody, but a decent amount of people wanted Franklin fired because he couldn't win the big one and couldn't win the national championship. And now, you know, now they don't even have a coach.
True.
And signing day is today. I saw where Harvard has a better recruiting class than Penn State. It's probably not great.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
That doesn't even make sense. And you probably don't even like Harvard, having gone to a different Ivy.
That's true.
I do not like Harvard. I do have a healthy respect for them and for kids that make that decision, but they don't have scholarship money, let alone NIL.
I guess part of that, just last question, Ross, and then we'll let you get out of it. Since we're mentioning college football, we saw a guy from Vanderbilt switch over. Do you think NIL, do you think we're 15 years away from it actually evening the playing field? We see more players skip major programs and, you know, stay home if Vanderbilt's going to flip a five-star recruit. Do you think NIL's actually evening it? Because I don't believe it until one of these non-10 programs I could list to you as every champion in the last 25 years. I don't believe it until one of them actually wins it. Somebody outside that group.
Well, I do believe it's evening it on some level. And I think the best example of that is probably Texas Tech. You know, I mean, there's some dudes out of Texas Tech that made a decision. And that's why Texas Tech is this good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even like BYU hanging on to their coach, there's some BYU boosters. I mean, I think the number one high school basketball player in the country, you know, went to BYU. Yep. He's a freshman there because they gave him the most money. I do think there's a lot more opportunity now for teams that aren't necessarily blue bloods to have major, major alums or donors that decide, you know what, I really want us to be really good. You know, I mean, it's a big reason why Oregon's so good. You know, as far as I'm, you know, I think Phil Knight basically gave him a blank check. He wants to see him win the national championship before he dies. You know, I think that there's a lot of truth to that, that it's not necessarily just going to be Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama. I understand your point. And maybe last year, you know, the SMUs and the Boise's weren't really quite there yet with, you know, Penn State or some of these other teams they played in the playoffs. But I do think it evens the field more than the opposite.
Where are you headed this week? I know you were in Nebraska for the Iowa-Nebraska game. People were texting in saying that they were listening to you or watching you on TV. Where are you headed this week?
Oh, nice. Appreciate that. Actually, only one game this week, radio tomorrow night.
Oh, perfect.
Huge game, Cowboys-Lions. So I'll fly to Detroit later today. Radio, not as much of a time commitment. And it's crazy. Like, I'm reading these stats, and it's like a 35% swing for both teams whether or not they make the playoffs based on whether or not they win this game tomorrow night, which, by the way, Texans-Chiefs is similar. Texans-Chiefs is a similarly massive swing for their playoff chances based on whether or not they win that game on Sunday night.
Yeah, loaded week 14 slate, all kinds of divisional matchups and big playoff swings happening in the NFL. Ross, appreciate it, man. Have a good call tomorrow.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He joins us each and every Wednesday here on the show. And yeah, he'll be in Detroit. Big game, Thursday Night Football, Detroit in Dallas. And we wanted to ask him at the beginning there just about, I was just taking a shot in the dark when I was like, have you ever
Sounds
interacted
like
with
Klein
Chris Klein
and
Colin Klein and Chris Klein? And he said he called a couple of the national titles for Chris Klein there at North Dakota State.
Honestly, he didn't. That was the big question at the time. This is why Klein, we talk about inexperience and the other stuff, why Kansas State should be a little less afraid of that. They picked a guy out of a completely different level. Not just a different job. He was a head coach.
He was winning championships, though.
Sure, but like, yeah. I mean, and look, this works sometimes. We talked about this with Loyola Chicago or the Northwest Missouri State head coach, who's obviously gone on to have success. It doesn't always work. Sometimes the level stuff's a challenge. You can't recruit at that level. You can't have success at that level. Just because you're doing in D2 doesn't mean you're just going to jump up and it works. They've found some creative outlets before. That was a risky hire still, in my opinion, even though Klieman was having success at the level he was at. I think the fact that Wentz ended up being an NFL player and is drafted as high as he was, NFL player, is obviously what got Klieman the job at Kansas State. And so it ended up working out. I don't think there's any argument that the Klieman hire worked. It just didn't work. You know, the maximum level, did you get every last thing you wanted out of the hire? No, there was still some room for improvement. But you won a Big 12 championship. It's just the surprise retirement part of it. At least that's the rumors. I know it's not official.
Yeah, there's multiple reports, and we're going to be joined by Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com coming up in 10 minutes. Multiple reports out there that Chris Klieman is going to step down and retire. Press conference was supposed to be at 11 today just for signing day. It's been moved to 4:00, and now Klieman and their athletic director, Gene Taylor, are expected to meet with the media. And then there's also, in that same report from the Manhattan Mercury and now others, that Colin Klein is expected to leave Texas A&M. He's their OC, and he will become the next head coach, according to that report, at Kansas State. And also down in College Station, they are saying that he is expected to still stay on and coach during the college football playoff as their offensive coordinator. So a lot of moving parts, things moving around. Clearly, this was not something that K-State was hoping was going to get out there today, given everything that was going on and trying to make sure also that Chris Klieman can have a team meeting with his players before he makes it official.
When's the last time that we had something like this happen, at least in Kansas City?
In terms of a coaching change
or a surprise retirement?
Just in general, like anything that was like, okay, that all of a sudden completely shifts how we're going to do the show or whether it's a retirement thing, because I know we've had changes, obviously, but something to the level of like, oh my gosh, is this actually happening? Like, we got to check to make sure this is right. And
yeah, this one was a stunner today. It's one of the more stunning breaking news things we've had prior to the show. We've had other, you know, a trade or something where it changes the beginning of the show before. Yeah. But I get you're in terms of a complete out of nowhere. You know, we know around the trade deadline that there's a chance something can break and change. We know that there's a chance on, you know, contract extension, franchise tag
Mahomes
deadlines.
Mahomes was going to get a deal one time.
But you're right. Yeah, this one was definitely something that caught a lot of people off guard today, I think, very clearly.
It's largely just no one saw it coming. Mm-hmm. Klieman was the coach of Kansas State. He was expected to continue being the coach
2032
of Kansas State. And yeah, a couple of weeks ago, he was getting emotional after a loss. And we're like, well, that's kind of, that feels a bit high, knowing that like a high emotional state, considering football coaches lose football games and these things certainly happen. So it kind of seemed at the time surprising, But now it's like, whoa, I didn't know he was going to quit. The Klein part's not surprising, honestly. If you had told me today we were going to find out that Chris Klein was going to retire, I'd have told you Klein was a good chance to be the next head coach. That one is not as surprising, just how it happened.
People
is.
Are texting. They said the closest thing maybe when Dane Moore, you know, the Royals moved on from him when we were on the show.
Yeah,
you know.
That's true. I didn't think he was going to get.
Someone says, is Chris Klein stepping down or he was given a choice, step down or be fired? Well, one, we don't know the details, but no, I do not think he was getting fired. No, absolutely not. No.
Bob kind of insinuated that, I think, in the on their show.
Back to back 9-win seasons before this year. I don't know, man. I don't think they were trying to force
him out. Won a Big 12 title, like, what, 2 years ago?
I don't think they were going. Yeah, they were not firing him.
No. I
disagree.
I think, and look, none of us know definitively yet. We'll let him speak at 4 o'clock and maybe give some details. Also, Tim Fitzgerald might have some more insight on it. They, as a program and where they were at, while people were frustrated, I don't think it ever reached that level. And the emotion that we saw from Chris Klieman towards the back half of the season,
yeah,
especially after the Utah game, I think now it makes a little bit more sense, mm-hmm, that he knew.
I think so.
Right? Like he knew that he was going to make this decision if, in fact, it becomes official later on today. Let's keep talking about it. Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com is going to join us. He's covered Kansas State Athletics for decades. He's talked with Chris Klieman on a regular basis throughout his time covering. I want to ask him what his reaction was, certainly what he makes of Colin Klein potentially becoming the head coach, and everything else really that this impacts for Kansas State. That's coming up next.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.